Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Wednesday with Jed Spencer from Liberty Lake. He is a council member out there in Liberty Lake. He has a lot of information about that city and what's going on in Liberty Lake. Of course, you can contact him at jspencer@libertylakewa.gov. That's jspencer@libertylakewa.gov. His office phone number is 509-434-8007. Only contact him if you have an issue inside of Liberty Lake. Of course, this is a Liberty Lake City Council member who is diligently working for those citizens. We're going to jump into a conversation with him after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is God focus. When I was shopping for an engagement ring, I spent many hours looking for exactly the right diamond. I was plagued by the thought, what if I miss the best one? According to economic psychologist Barry Schwartz, my chronic indecision indicates that I am what he calls a maximizer, in contrast to a satisficer. A satisficer makes choices based on whether something is adequate for their needs. Maximizers, we have a need to always make the best choice. The potential outcome of our decision in the face of many choices, anxiety, depression, and discontent. In fact, sociologists have coined another phrase for this phenomenon, fear of missing out. We won't find the words maximizer or satisficer in Scripture, of course, but we do find a similar idea. In 1 Timothy, Paul challenged Timothy to find value in God rather than the things of this world. The world's promises of fulfillment can never fully deliver. Paul wanted Timothy to instead root his identity in God. Godlessness with contentment is great gain. Paul sounds like a satisficer when he adds, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. When I fixate the myriad of ways the world promises fulfillment, I usually end up restless and unsatisfied. But when I focus on God and relinquish my compulsive urge to maximize, my soul moves toward genuine contentment and rest. Heavenly Father, please help us to remember that only you can fill our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it seems like the city we talk about a lot here is the city of Spokane, and they're an ultimate maximizer, like maximizing how much money they can extract from the citizenry. We're the highest tax district in Eastern Washington. So we're going to travel just a little bit further east in a conversation today with Councilman Jed Spencer from Liberty Lake. And it's a nice, happy place to be. I know every time I'm out there, it just seems like it's booming. So tell us a little bit about what's going on out there, Councilman Jed Spencer.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, we're still in a growth mode. So lots of building taking place. We just finished the Kramer Overpass this last year, which really connects the north and south end of Liberty Lake. Those of us that live on the north side, you know, on the north side of the freeway have always kind of felt a little disconnected. But I think this really helped us to connect the city, makes it a lot easier to get over to Home Depot or, you know, things like that.
So for all the listeners, just pass through on I-90 to get to Idaho so they can buy stuff at a lower price. on your way out there, over the last couple of years, you saw a lane close down sometimes. You went from that 70-mile-an-hour zone, and they slowed it down to 60, and there was that overpass being built, and it looked like it was going to be like an on-ramp to the new high school. And so all that got completed, and it looks like it's going to be good ground for new development as well for businesses and people that are leaving the city of Spokane and want to find a place with less crime.
Definitely. And there's obviously some land in that area. So I'm sure there are some businesses eyeing that property.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. And obviously we're seeing growth all over the place. A lot of apartments going up, some housing. You know, how's that working out for the city? I know that you guys have got to make decisions on zoning and building and authorize, you know, different departments. So let us know how that's working out there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always a tricky situation. You've got developers, obviously they're going to maximize their you know, the profit that they can make in building, you know, that higher density apartment complexes and things like that. And you get some pushback from citizens and things like that. I think at the end of the day, a lot of people want to live out in Liberty Lake. It's just an enjoyable place to be. And so I think we're trying to kind of balance that and make sure that, you know, everybody who wants to be out there can find a place. But it's becoming more difficult. Even the apartments are very expensive to live out there.
Well, very expensive. But if you kind of look at it, there's some benefits. The taxes are lower than they are in the city of Spokane. And you look at, okay, there's a lake. So you're close to recreation. You don't have to travel as far. You've got the golf course. You've got, you know, shopping. You've got restaurants. And then you've got cheap gas just a few miles down the road in Idaho.
Yeah, it's very true. It is kind of a destination place. I mean, for the businesses that want to come out there, we were trying to determine what to do with the utility tax, because years ago, during one of the recessions, there was a bit of a tax shortfall, and the city decided to adopt a utility tax. And for municipalities in the state of Washington, the maximum you can go is 6%. So Liberty Lake took that full 6% that first year, and then the very next year decided that was way more than we needed. We cut it in half to 3%. The majority of the municipalities and cities throughout the state of Washington are maximizing that 6%. But we told the taxpayers at the time, hey, this is just a temporary thing until we can kind of get back on our feet.
That's great. Take what you need, no more. And I see the city of Spokane not really following that model. In fact, we're going to be facing a tax that's huge, $1 just in the one tax that they're proposing, $1 per thousand of value of the house, just to, you know, fill the hole in the budget that our irresponsible politicians put there. Of course, it's our fault because we let them do it, but you know, we're going to pay the bills.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were kind of looking at that over the last few years, and I know the conversation has come up many times, but we were trying to determine, well, what's the best way to do this? Because actually what we're using that utility tax for is road maintenance. Oh, okay. That's strictly where it's been going. And so we found a mechanism called a transportation benefit district, mm-hmm. a TBD.
Yep, the $20 car tabs.
Yeah.
that's what it is in the city of Spokane.
Okay.
It's an extra $20 on our car tabs, I believe.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, so we weren't gonna look at the car tabs side of things. We decided what we'd do is we can implement a councilmatic sales tax of 0.1%. And the TBD, you can go up to 0.3% with the vote of the citizens. So what we decided is let's start with that 0.1% on the sales tax.
So it's like a penny for every dollar.
Yeah, it's going to take our tax rate from 8.9 to 9.
Well, so not a huge difference.
Not a huge difference, but
I think we're over that in the city of Spokane now.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think you guys are at least at 9.1.
Yeah, and we got I thought the TBD we did here was a $20 car tab. So
you can use the car tabs. We just decided we didn't want to look at that. But so we were hoping to eliminate the utility tax altogether. But what we did was we kind of found a happy medium for the time being. We dropped utility tax down to 1%.
Oh, okay. So from 6, then 3, one.
And now to 1. So it's been at 3 since the year after they implemented it originally.
Okay.
Which is, again, half of what most of the cities in the state of Washington take. And so we dropped it to 1%, and then we're adding that 0.1% in the sales tax, which will allow us to kind of collect on some of those people coming into the city using our roads, to have them help pay for our roads.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's pretty much going to be a wash for now. We're going to kind of monitor that and see whether that utility tax will be needed long term. If not, we'll try and eliminate that altogether.
Well, it's good that you are at half the rate of most of the other cities in Washington, and then of course, having people that come into your city help maintain your city. If people want to visit your city, they want to see potholes filled or they want to see a smooth roadway, might as well. And actually, that was kind of how the jail tax was kind of set up. So that it was a sales tax that basically the whole community would pay, but also travelers, people that came here for events and things like that would also help cover. So I'm not a fan of any talk about taxes unless it's a reduction at this point in time. And it looks like the Liberty Lake Council is looking at only taking what they need, because you guys already gave back the 3% and are looking at further ways of maintaining your infrastructure. Now, when we talk about infrastructure, one of the users of infrastructure is government. And what we have in the city of Spokane is we'd like to see more government using our streets. Only one department, though. We want cops, right? We're not getting them because, you know, before we came on the air, I was talking about law enforcement, and I think you brought up resource officers. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any resource officers in our schools. We have zero traffic police in the city of Spokane. And you guys have also implemented some other things for public safety that I don't know that we're using here in the city of Spokane. So let's go into the law enforcement side of Liberty Lake.
Sure. So yeah, in Liberty Lake, our police department is just doing a great job being proactive, looking at different measures that they can implement to make sure that they are proactive in their policing. One of the things we talked about, I think even the last time I was on here, is we implemented a system called the Flock Safety System. And it's a series of cameras at the entrance points throughout the city that essentially all they do is capture a shot of the vehicle, the make and the model, and the license plate. So it doesn't capture faces or anything like that. And then it runs it through a system to determine whether that vehicle has been stolen or involved in some sort of crime. And then it sends an alert to the local law enforcement to let them know that that vehicle's in their city or has passed through the city.
So I know we have some law enforcement vehicles that have, it's kind of an interesting looking device on top of the car here in the Spokane area. I think the sheriff's office has a couple of them as well, where it actually, as they're driving around, this system is scanning license plates, looking for stolen vehicles, because that's one of the problems we have in Washington, specifically Spokane. Is a couple of years, I think we've won the prize of being like the highest car theft community, right, in Spokane. I don't know if that's been an issue. I guess Kias are kind of a target that's been in recent news. And so you can kind of pick up some of those crime indicators from this Flock system.
Yeah, and really what it does is it lets the criminals know this probably isn't a good place to be hanging out.
And they're well marked, so the criminals know that these are.
No, but they know, they find out pretty quick that if they've got a law enforcement on them right away as they've entered into the city limits, that we've got something in place.
Well, it's not something you're trying to, this is not like a secret surveillance thing. This is something I'm sure your law enforcement officers let them know. Hey, you got off I-90 into the wrong city.
That's right. We could call it the CIA. City in action.
Right.
Looking for evil doers.
So it's not top secret. It's one of those things definitely, probably law enforcement is telling them. The Flock system picked you up and they're like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, and then the word gets out and then the criminals say, well, we'll just continue on to Spokane.
Let's head somewhere else. Yeah. You know, and to that point, just in our last meeting, they introduced an officer that they hired who is already trained with commercial vehicle stuff. So when a commercial rig comes through Liberty Lake to skip the waypoint, skip the scales. So we've got somebody now on staff that can actually make those stops and do the inspections. And it's going to be a huge thing because obviously they're putting a lot of impact on our roads, you know.
Is there
and things like that?
Is there that many vehicles that are? So I am a Class A CD holder.
Okay,
I drive a vehicle on a regular basis that I can carry 105,000 pounds.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people think it's 18-wheeler, 80,000. I think I've got like 24 tires to keep track of. So I'm one of those vehicles, right?
Yeah.
But I would never think about trying to get away from the scales because you can lose your CDL. It's going to get you in trouble. But you actually have quite a few that are using the back road to get around it.
All the time because you can get off right there at Idaho and come through on Apple Way or vice versa. And I asked the same question. I was like, so is this happening a lot? And they're like, all the time. And you know, we didn't have any way to really enforce it because if they're skipping the highway, they're skipping the highway patrol and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and when you have a heavy vehicle like that, certain roadways, especially like the concrete freeway, the sections that are concrete, the roadbeds, everything is designed for those heavier vehicles. So even if you're not overweight, the certain roadways are designed for the heavier vehicles. When you start talking about these other routes, even if they're not overweight, they're not really designed to carry those loads. So that's too bad that they're doing that. But so you guys have someone now that is going to be looking at those guys that are trying to get around the rules. We're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. Councilman Jed Spencer, City of Liberty Lake. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you for listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are only on the air and podcast because you support this program. You, the listeners, we are listener supported. Keep us on the air to keep all these interviews and shows going. Please go to rightspokaneperspective.com. There's a donate button there. Or you can send your donation to Right Spokane Perspective LLC, P.O. Box 7620-99207. Thanks and back to the show.
And welcome back to this Wednesday episode. We are visited by Councilman Jed Spencer from Liberty Lake. He's telling us a story that sounds really close to Idaho, because it is. And we're talking about law enforcement jumping off into the break, and it sounds like laws are being enforced as best as they can in a state like Washington out in Liberty Lake to the benefit of the citizenry. That Representative Jed Spencer, it sounds like, is a proponent of good law enforcement. So let's finish off that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's the primary function of government, is creating laws that we can all agree on and then have somebody in place to enforce those laws.
Well, and I've talking about the cameras and the digital spaces, it really bothers people a lot. They feel like there's this, technocracy they're going to be implementing things that really violate a lot of people's rights. But I'm not really against those things that read the license plates. That's why we have them. That's why we pay that extra fee on our car tabs for the reflective material so that they can be picked up. And it's because if your car gets stolen, there's devices out there that can alert law enforcement that this is a stolen vehicle. I want my property back.
100%.
That's, government's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So has the council seen anything with the Flock system where they thought, no, we don't want that feature, we only want this feature? Is there different features to it that you guys can pick and choose from?
You know, I think there may be different programs, but I think the recommended, which is kind of already how I've explained it, is what most cities go with. And we've heard countless stories already of recovered vehicles, recovered property.
People that are on the run.
Yeah. It's really great.
I think that sort of thing scares entities like drug cartels that are pushing fentanyl.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to set up shop somewhere, knowing that you're going to be under surveillance, I think the people who really don't like these programs the most are the bad guys.
Of course. I'm sure the citizenry loves it out in Liberty Lake because they know that as soon as they get off I-90, they left work in Spokane, where they're like, the crime is crazy, the drugs on the streets are crazy, get to Liberty Lake, things are quite a bit different because law enforcement will take action, and you guys still have those resource officers. You guys still have traffic enforcement, commercial traffic enforcement, like you said before the break. So what else is going on in Liberty Lake?
Oh, gosh. We finished our public works building recently, and so we are creating a public works department. So that's going to be kind of pulled out of the planning, engineering, building services department, and we're just about to appoint the mayor. It looks like has found a candidate. We went nationwide looking for candidates, but it sounds like they narrowed it down. So I believe on Tuesday night at our meeting, we're going to be confirming the mayor's appointment for a public works director. We're on the hunt for a new city engineer. And so things are moving.
Do you have somebody retire, or you're looking for another city engineer?
No, the city engineer that we had on staff stepped down, I think, for just another opportunity. And this will actually be a good opportunity for us to grab one that has a license. There were some problems here and there working with the developers and things. They kind of pushed back a few times because our city engineer wasn't a licensed engineer.
Okay, so you're looking at things having to do with insurance liabilities, the ability for oversight to have the same kind of technical skills, or on paper, the technical skills, so that these things can get accomplished. So when you're talking about breaking off a public works department, so you had minimal staff, it sounds like the first half, folks, if you want to hear about how local governments can cut taxes, i.e. citizens of Spokane, listen carefully to the first half. Cutting taxes, because you only take what you need.
Right.
So Liberty Lake had kind of a whole lot of functions in one department, like your zoning, your building, and your roads and engineering and all that in one department. So you guys are broken off and said, we need to separate this. The city's growing. Mm-hmm. We've got more streets coming in. Development's happening. So you wanted to have people that, you know, city works to explain kind of the difference there. This is not just, you know, building private buildings. This is not your water department necessarily. How does this split work?
Yeah, so mostly with the public works building. So first of all, we didn't have a public works building. So, you know, a lot of our equipment was just sitting outside. They were having to change the blades on the snow plows outside, you know, in 3 feet of snow kind of thing.
That doesn't sound like fun. That's going to be hard to retain in staff when you're have those kind of conditions.
Right. Yeah. But even with all that, the staff was just great. I mean, just Johnny on the spot. We always have our roads plowed, you know, right away.
But did Johnny have to take the plow truck home because there's nowhere to park it?
No, I think there was an area that they were storing it, but again, it was outside this new public works building that we just built off of Kramer Parkway, just south of the overpass. You know, now they can store equipment inside. They do have some stuff stored outside, but now they can bring it inside to work on it, to fix it, and things like that.
Do maintenance, yeah.
Yeah, we're adding a bunch more different equipment that we've traditionally rented. And so now it's going to become more cost effective if we own it and we have people that can maintain it and things like that. So we're going to be saving money in a lot of those places where, you know, typically it didn't make a lot of sense for us to own a certain piece of equipment, like a lift or a, you know, certain snow plows or street cleaners, things like that. So we're bringing a lot of that in house and we can just maintain it internally.
Return on investment. Yeah. So previous until just recently, because there was less streets, there wasn't as many roadways that the city of Liberty Lake had to deal with or maintain, there was no return on investment to own, so they just rented. But now you're looking at, well, the cost per hour of use and how much space we've got to clear. So you've got this new public works department so they can actually work inside. I'm guessing your Liberty Lake mechanic is loving this.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But he's probably secretly testified to the council when the thing was getting built, right?
You know, and the nice thing too is we're able to share this equipment across departments, you know, so the golf course can use it. The parks department can use some of that equipment. And so they can kind of share it back and forth. So
That's kind of unique for a city too. A lot of city departments, you can't share staff, you can't share equipment. Yeah. You can't even use the same pens, right?
We're a little bit more nimble than that.
A little more nimble. That's good. I mean, yeah. You know, close government to the people is more nimble. It should be more responsible. And it looks like the city of Liberty Lake is doing that. Anything else going on? So the public works, all this is going on. Sounds like employees are going to be happy with the new departments having covered workspace.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we bought a building for the new library last year. So we're working on planning for that coming up. We're right now there's a church renting that building. They've had a lease on it for a number of years, but I think their lease is coming up, I believe, at the end of this year. And so we're looking at, you know, our library staff, they are, you know, looking at, you know, how they want it to look and you know, operate and all that stuff. So
you're going to just use the structure of the building that's already there, or mm-hmm. is this going to be, you know, tear it down?
No, we'll use the structure. Again, there's a church in there right now, but there will be some stuff on the inside that they gotta have to move around a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure some remodeling.
For the most part, it's going to be very usable, and you know, they're going to be able to build a very modern library and just get a lot more space. Right now, the usage out there at the one that's connected with the police department, they share a building right now.
Right.
Just very small space, but highly utilized.
But the police have a lot to read, though.
Yeah. <You know>? Right.
Well, but this is a smart way to use.
The neighbors are quiet.
Yeah.
This is a smart way to use taxpayer resources. You already have a good, solid structure there. Just repurpose it. Give the library some space because you've got room for all the books out there that people want to read and that should be available to the public, but maybe not the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's kind of interesting too, because they've been having talks about, you know, making it a library of things. You know, I think libraries have really evolved and will continue to evolve because we don't depend on a library for information per se. I think a lot of the libraries now are more of an experience. At least that's the way I've experienced them more recently.
More, you know, digital, more,
yeah.
large motor skills activities, not just reading books.
Yeah, sure. I mean, because we can access all of the stuff that's available in the library on our devices. So if we really need the content, we don't rely on a library necessarily for that. But, you know, our library in particular does a lot of programming, lots of activities for everybody in the community. So
Everything from children to our seniors?
Yeah, all the way up to the adults. And we've got the Guardian Angels retirement home right across the street. They bring them in, or they actually take programming to them. So they'll go across the street and take books with them and let them check them out, you know, from the comfort of their homes.
That's great. Yeah, so you got an opportunity so the elderly can still spend some time reading, enjoying some books they'd like to read. Plus, maybe the reading programs at the library benefit is like borrow a grandparent to read you a book day, right?
Yeah, there's lots of opportunity there for sure.
Okay, great. Well, what else are we going to read into what the government is doing beyond the library?
Oh, gosh. You know, we're always looking at how we can become better, you know, and of course there's a lot of things, you know, we're looking at our periodic comprehensive plan update that we have to do, I believe coming up in 2026 at this coming meeting on Tuesday. We have a workshop that we're going to be talking about.
And those are a big deal.
Yeah.
The comprehensive plan's a big deal because your state government that requires this comprehensive plan through the Growth Management Act is going to make sure that you're city is not doing something that the governor does not like, or the legislature, right?
Right.
You got to fight climate change somehow through this comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's huge impacts there from not just the governor and legislature. That's kind of a joke, but they did put a lot of things into place across a multitude of agencies. And, you know, they've got planning for these 15-minute cities. They've got, you know, all sorts of ideas in their heads in Olympia that restrict city governments, and you've got to present that plan to the state, or they're going to tell you, no, we're not going to give you any money back that we collected from your citizens for things like libraries and roads.
Yeah, 100%. And so our city staff does a great job being proactive and jumping on these things early so that we have the chance to kind of discuss them. Again, we've got this workshop coming up on Tuesday to start discussing some of the things that they just added on top of, you know, what we were already needing to look at, you know, things like land use and housing and even social justice.
Access to natural gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was taking a look at the strategic plan for 2024 to 2028. What about a pool?
Yeah. Well, actually, this last year, we did add it to the funded projects list. I think it's out a few years. I've got mixed feelings about that. I mean, as a general rule, I don't really believe the government should be involved in anything other than protecting our rights.
Yeah, so I think so. Well, I've said about the tax that is coming to the city of Spokane, sell the arena. Since when was it the government's job to provide entertainment, right? Is that if it's a good investment, that somebody will come in and buy it?
I agree 100%. Yeah, I would tend to defer to the market to provide those solutions to our citizens. And if it's going to be profitable, then somebody will come and do it. So
yeah.
You know, I don't like the idea of being in competition as the government with private businesses. You know, such as golf and
there's gyms,
you know, these other things.
There's gyms that provide pools. If there's money in it, a gym will open up a pool.
We have a pool out in Liberty Lake at the Liberty Lake Athletic Club.
Oh, you know, okay.
Yeah. We have access to a pool.
Well, there's public access to the lake too.
Yeah, yeah. You can go jump in the water if you want.
And it's solar powered.
That's
right. The temperature of the lake is solar powered. So
nice and heated in the summertime.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, and so, just about a minute left. So just let the citizens of Liberty Lake and the rest of the listeners know how Jed Spencer feels about what's going on in Liberty Lake.
You know, I think we're trying to do a great job providing the services to our citizens that, you know, that should be part of the government. And I think in particular with this tax shakeup that we had with the TBD, I think it really takes the burden off of the citizens and the businesses, because there are businesses using a lot of utilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by dropping that from 3% to 1%, it's really going to save them a lot of money and kind of spread that burden, especially to the people who are coming and visiting and using those roads that we're paying to maintain.
Very good, very good. Well, folks out there, if you don't live in Liberty Lake, you can take some advice from Jed Spencer, and it's if your city government can't swim, stay out of the pool. All that being said, we'll be with you folks again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.